This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
The Federal Reserve makes its largest rate hike in nearly 30 years.
The way everything kind of shakes up, you know, this is still going to be a very uncertain year where unpredictable things are going to happen.
What the Fed's more aggressive pace means for inflation and markets. Plus, Meta unveils new parental controls, what they mean for teens. It's Wednesday, June 15th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The Federal Reserve is raising interest rates by 0.75 percentage point, its biggest increase since 1994, as it looks to tamp down soaring inflation, which is still at a 40-year high. The central bank also signaled it would continue lifting rates at a more aggressive pace in the months ahead. But at the conclusion of their two-day policy meeting, Fed Chair Jerome Powell made it clear that they are not anticipating more big jumps.
Clearly, today's 75 basis point increase is an unusually large one, and I do not expect moves of this size to be common. From the perspective of today, either a 50 basis point or a 75 basis point increase seems most likely at our next meeting. We will, however, make our decisions meeting by meeting, and we'll continue to communicate our thinking as clearly as we can.
Powell's announcement that rate hikes of this scale would likely not become common rallied all three major indexes. Here's our markets reporter, Karen Langley.
If you look at interest rate futures, the markets did mostly price in this larger rate hike early in the week after the Journal reported that Fed officials would likely consider it. That's why today's action likely may be being driven more by new information.
But Karen says that doesn't mean there won't be bumps along the way.
Investors are really trying to figure out what this mix of very high inflation together with quickly tightening monetary policy is going to mean for the economy and for markets. And they're largely in agreement that the Fed does need to raise rates to contain inflation, but they're also worried about whether these higher interest rates will send the U.S. economy into a recession and what that would mean both for business fundamentals like profits and also for investor sentiment.
The Dow ultimately ended the day up 304 points, or 1%. The S&P 500 gained 1.5%, and the Nasdaq jumped up 2.5%. Meanwhile, consumers are already feeling the pinch from inflation. The Commerce Department reported retail spending, sales at stores, online, and in restaurants fell by 0.3% in May. It was the first month-over-month decline this year, and a sharp drop in car sales played an outsized role. Consumers also pulled back on buying goods such as furniture, electronics, and on online shopping, but they spent more at gas stations and on groceries. The Justice Department is bringing hate crime charges against the man accused of killing 10 people in a racist massacre at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. Attorney General Merrick Garland traveled to Buffalo today to meet with the families of those killed and survivors of the attack and to announce the charges.
No one in this country should have to live in fear that they will go to work or shop at a grocery store and will be attacked by someone who hates them because of the color of their skin. Someone who commits that act because he subscribes to the vile theory that only people like him belong in this country.
The DOJ has charged Peyton Gendron with 26 counts of hate crimes and a firearms offense that carries a potential penalty of death. He already faces a number of state-level charges, including domestic terrorism and first-degree murder in the May 14th attack, which was one of the deadliest mass shootings this year. He's pleaded not guilty to those charges. The Supreme Court has dismissed a case focused on efforts by Republican-led states to reinstate a Trump-era policy that denied legal immigrants green cards if they made more than a minimal use of welfare benefits. The court said it never should have agreed to hear the case involving the so-called public charge rule in the first place. Our Supreme Court correspondent Jess Braven explains.
Four justices, led by the Chief Justice, issued a concurring opinion laying out the issues and saying that this one was just too complicated to get to the actual question they were interested in. It's a win for the Biden administration in that it can move ahead with its plan to rescind the public charge rule, as it was planning to do anyway. And it's a defeat, at least for now, for states that want to try to use litigation to compel the federal administration to take certain policy steps that they think are more prudent.
At a meeting in Brussels today, NATO and its allies pledged new weapons and military systems to Ukraine, including $1 billion in new U.S. aid to help turn the tide against Russia's advances. But the pledges come amid widening rifts within NATO over how much military assistance to give and when to push for negotiations with Moscow. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who hosted a meeting of about 50 countries today, says they'll remain focused on Ukraine's needs.
We must push ourselves even harder to ensure that Ukraine can defend itself, its citizens, and its territory. But make no mistake, Russia's unprovoked and indefensible invasion isn't just a danger to Ukraine, it's a menace to European security.
And EV maker Tesla has topped the list of most vehicle crashes suspected of involving advanced driver assistance technology in the first ever federal survey tracking these incidents. The National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration says of the nearly 400 crash reports involving this technology, more than two-thirds happened in a Tesla. But the regulator is cautioning against using the report to draw conclusions about car safety features due to the data's limitations. Tesla did not respond to a request for comment. But the company has said before that driving with advanced driver assistance is safer than without it, and points to its own data showing that crashes were less common with its system engaged. Coming up, we'll get the details from today's Fed meeting and what it bodes for interest rates and inflation in the weeks to come.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says officials want to see compelling evidence inflation is coming down, and so far, that hasn't been the case. As we reported earlier in the show, the Fed moved to raise interest rates by 0.75 percentage point today, instead of by 0.5 percentage point as previously telegraphed.
So contrary to expectations, inflation again surprised to the upside. Some indicators of inflation expectations have risen, and projections of this year have moved up notably. So we thought that strong action was warranted at this meeting.
Joining me now with more on the Fed's decision and the path ahead is Michael Derby, a special writer for WSJ Pro Central Banking. Hi, Michael. Thanks for being here.
Thanks again for having me.
So, Michael, top officials have conceded to making mistakes in their handling of inflation. How are observers viewing the Fed's action today? Is this rate increase a sign that officials are now panicking as they try to bring record inflation under control more quickly? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much a sense that they're panicking. It's more a sense that they're front-loading the action. They're taking a less gradual path towards getting there. Part of the things that they released today at the FOMC meeting was new forecasts for, you know, the next several years. And it covers a bunch of different variables for the economy. But part of that was, you know, their expected path for monetary policy. And I'll caution that it's not an official forecast of the Fed, but, you know, it is a forecast they put out. We all look at it. Markets take it to heart. It's important. And that forecast showed a really big upward revision in how the cumulative amount of rate rises they expect for this year. And the way the forecasts shake out is basically they're accelerating and speeding up what they're doing this year in the face of bad inflation data. And then that gives them space next year. In a year when they do expect price pressures to abate by quite a bit, they won't have to do as much next year. So really kind of the baseline is front loading. This action today certainly moves it along, and critically, Chair Powell reserved the option to go by 75 basis points again at the next meeting. He said 50 to 75 is on the table for that, but then also he said we should not expect that these moves are commonplace moves. So, you know, someplace after that, someplace later in the year, things might start to calm down and revert back to monetary policy cycles that we're more accustomed to seeing.
What will this latest increase mean practically for most Americans?
Well, it's going to make mortgages more expensive. That's definitely, you know, a thing that's going to hit a lot of people quite directly. And there may be some benefits for that because Chair Powell did talk about the idea that maybe this will help sort of reset the housing market, you know, where prices have been absolutely screaming. And so maybe higher mortgage rates, it might cost more to buy a house, but maybe the price comes down or doesn't go up as much. So that's one very tangible thing. Other levels of consumer borrowing, you know, may go up. You know, auto loans may get more expensive. But then again, it's also hard to get a car even now. But then another way, you know, if financial markets view this rate rise favorably, you know, maybe the stock market starts to get some equilibrium. I mean, stocks are up today, but, you know, that can be ephemeral. Who knows what that translates. But over time, you know, the idea that the Fed is getting better hold of inflation may help markets stabilize and maybe even start to rise again.
To that point about markets, stocks have been on a pretty wild ride this month. The S&P 500 landed in a bear market earlier this week. How much or how closely is the Fed watching markets and how their decisions are impacting stocks?
Well, I should probably take the opportunity to say that the Fed does not actually care about the stock market per se. As long as the stock market moves in an orderly fashion, that's really what the Fed cares about there. Fed really actually cares much more about sort of a broader constellation of what they kind of lump together as financial conditions. And they, you know, they don't really define that in any hard and fast way, but that's borrowing costs, like all types of credit, things like that. And so the Fed has actually welcomed Fed policy works through financial markets. And so, you know, they say what they deem a tightening in financial conditions, that is actually, you know, that's something they want to see. That's part of their policy. That is an express aim of their policy to see financial conditions tighten. So the higher borrowing costs, you know, maybe lower asset levels, you know, that's part of this process of what they see as rebalancing the economy in a way that will get inflation down.
Michael, tightening monetary policy has also raised fears that we could be looking at a recession on the other side of this. How are Fed officials and economists assessing that possibility right now?
Well, Fed officials still remain confident that they're going to get a soft landing. They do not believe that they're going to cause a recession, but that once you step outside of the Fed walls, the outlook changes quite a bit. Even the Fed itself is getting dogged pretty hard by some of its own, you know, former colleagues. You know, the New York Fed president sees, you know, hard landing happening, you know, not imminently, but by 2023, the economic pain of all of this could strike. Chair Powell said today he does not see a recession. A recession is not a goal of Fed policy, but there is a great deal of people who do think this is going to lead to a recession. And even in the Fed forecast, I mean, they do believe there will be a rise in the unemployment rate as a result of their policy, you know, not to high levels. Chair Powell said the expected rise in unemployment would be historically low, but tell that to somebody who lost their job because the Fed tightened monetary policy. I mean, you know, your inflation may be down, but you are also out of work. And so for a lot of people, that's going to be painful.
What other clues did we get from Fed Chair Jerome Powell today about the path for the rest of the year?
The way everything kind of shakes up, you know, this is still going to be a very uncertain year where unpredictable things are going to happen. Chair Powell said a lot of things driving inflation are out of the Fed's hands, you know, things like Russia's war in Ukraine. The Fed can't do anything about that. Fed can't make refiners process gasoline more quickly. Fed has limited abilities to affect supply chains that have been torn up through, you know, COVID-related things. But if we kind of step back and look at everything Chair Powell said and the projections, you know, this, it seems like the Fed thinks this is going to be the last of the troubled times and that things are going to definitely start to calm down next year. Now, that's their outlook. Other people don't share it, but that's what they're thinking about things.
That's Michael Derby, special writer for WSJ Pro Central Banking. Michael, thanks so much for walking us through this today.
Thank you.
And finally, Facebook parent company Meta has faced backlash over how social media affects teenagers. This week, in response, it announced new parental controls for Instagram and its first virtual reality supervision tools. Our personal tech news reporter, Shara Tibkin, says parents can now monitor how much time their kids spend on Instagram and which accounts they follow.
So in the past, the teen had to initiate it and send it to their parents, and their parents had to accept it. So now parents can start it. And with these new ones, parents will be able to set times of the day or stretches of the week where their kids can't use Instagram at all. So it's a sort of timeout from using the app. Parents will also be able to see a little bit more information about accounts or posts that were reported as inappropriate. So if somebody sends their teen something and the teen reports it, they can find out a little more information about what was going on.
Similar parental control features also give parents some say in what their kids do on Meta's Quest VR headsets. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.